Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus. Who is the Holy Spirit? We have a Bible text from Romans chapter 8, verse 14, where it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came only on certain people. Men and women were filled with the Spirit of God so they could do a certain task, what they had to do. Prophets were filled with the Spirit so that they could hear the message of God and proclaim it to the people. Moses was filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, he could not have done the task that God gave him. Some kings, especially David, were filled with the Holy Spirit. When Samuel anointed David, in 1 Samuel 16:13, it says, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David with power. On that day, when he was anointed, the Spirit of God came upon David with power. On the day of Pentecost, an absolutely new thing started. The Holy Spirit came on all the believers, and there were 120 believers altogether, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Joel chapter 2:26, it was prophesying what is going to happen. It says, and afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Jesus taught his disciples that if they love him, they would obey his commandments. He was teaching them how to live a Christian life, how a Christian should be. But they couldn't remember everything. They would forget. And therefore Jesus said in John 14:26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have taught you. It was important for Jesus to tell his disciples that they should wait for the Holy Spirit, because it was so important that they receive the Spirit. In Luke 24:40, Jesus said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The disciples had tremendous task ahead of them, but they couldn't have done it in their own strength, so they needed the guidance and the help of the Holy Spirit. All churches believe in a Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you ask Christians, they all say, yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit. But many don't know who is the Holy Spirit. I was speaking to somebody about Pentecost, and he says, what is Pentecost? What is it? And he was a Christian. What is the Holy Spirit coming? But most Christians do not know what the Holy Spirit is. Many think the Holy Spirit is a power. Many think he's an influence, but they are wrong. The Holy Spirit is not a power. The Holy Spirit is not an influence. The Holy Spirit is not a nudge. The Holy Spirit is a person. He has a mind, he is feeling, and he has a will, the three elements that make a man. a person. Because the Holy Spirit has all these qualities, he is a person. He interacts as a person with other persons. God the Father sent him into the world. And Jesus sent him into the world. People can grieve the Holy Spirit. I have all the Bible references. If you are interested, I can give you. So people can grieve the Holy Spirit. They can resist the Holy Spirit. They can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. They can lie against the Holy Spirit. They can revile the Spirit and speak against him. All the terms that are used in the Bible concerning the Holy Spirit refer to him as a person. So if we read, people can grieve him. It doesn't say people can grieve it. A thing cannot be grieved, but a person can. He's called another comforter or an assistant, implying that he is a person. The same as Jesus is a person, so the Holy Spirit is a person. But the Holy Spirit is more than a person. He's more. He is God, eternally connected to God the Father and God the Son. However, the Holy Spirit is not someone we are praying to. We are not praying to the Holy Spirit in the same way that we do not pray to Jesus. Although the Holy Spirit is God, it does not tell you in the Bible anywhere that we should pray to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible does not tell us to pray to Jesus. The Bible tells us to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to lead people to Jesus and to glorify God. Our opening verse in Romans 9:8-14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, or the daughters of God. So this verse gives us an answer to who is a Christian. Who is a Christian? Our new life is revealed as the Holy Spirit is guiding us. Anyone who is led by the Spirit of God is a son or a daughter of God. Original Greek means to be consistently guided, consistently be led. So it's not about a one-off experience, sometimes in the past, but it's about a present, consisting leadership, a life that is shaped by the Holy Spirit. With a statement for the Apostle Paul has given, it's very clear. Not every person is a child of God. Not every person. Decent behavior is no proof that somebody is a child of God. Attending church service every Sunday is not a proof that someone is a Christian. Or that someone reads the Bible and follows their conscience is no proof that they are a Christian. Only he who is guided by the Holy Spirit is a child of God. Since God has created us, every human being is a creature of God. We are created with godliness, godliness. We can think, we can love, we can speak like God. But we are not divine, because we are only biological. We don't have the spiritual life. We do not possess the same essence and the nature and the life as God has. In addition, many a divine trait in us is corrupted by the inward, corrupted, sinful person that we are. And the natural man cannot be a child of God. I say it again, a natural man cannot be a child of God. He is an enemy of God. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. And verse 9, it says, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. So God does not accept anything from somebody who is not a child of God. Paul wrote about this in Romans 3, chapter 10 to 12. Chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. As it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not even one. Nobody is righteous. Therefore, is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become corrupt, worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. There are many people, they are doing good things and they think they will go to heaven. But it says here, no one can do anything good. Everything that God does in such a life is grace. Grace. In that the Holy Spirit convicts these people of their sinfulness and draws them to Jesus. Only what is born of God is divine. What is born of God is divine and has divine attributes such as eternity and sinlessness. So in order to live eternally and sinless after our death here on earth, so that we can have fellowship in heaven with God, means that we must be born again. And that only happens when we're born again, when we give our life to Jesus and he gives us a new life. Jesus explains this in John chapter 3, verse 3, where it says, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. That means somebody is born again to be able to see the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit brings about the rebirth of people who submit their lives and accept that they are lost and hopeless and unable to face God. So, those who put their trust into God can be born again. Jesus' forgiveness has accomplished all this. When he died on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sin. In this way, and only in this sense, do we become sons and daughters of God. Romans 8:15, it says, For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Adoption is a privilege because someone has decided to adopt you. Someone has decided to become your parent. In Roman culture, an adopted person lost all the rights and privileges and responsibilities of the old family, but received all the rights and responsibilities of the new family. That is exactly what happens when we are adopted, when we are born again. The old nature is past. What was is no more. We changed from darkness to light. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." So we have changed ownership. As it says in Romans 6:22, "But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and in the end everlasting life." As our new master is leading us, he leads us on the way to righteousness. When the Israelites were in the desert, he went ahead of them. He led them by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. Now Jesus said in John 14:21, the one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. If you obey his commands, you love him. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him, and I will reveal myself to him. Reveal. He wants to reveal himself to you so that he can see. So that he can see his guidance with the pillar. And this revelation is done through the Holy Spirit. We see here that Godhead is included. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God. We must understand the Holy Spirit never leads against the Word of God. The Holy Spirit never tells you to do something which is against the Holy Spirit, which is against the Word of God. He is the Spirit of truth, and he is the Word of truth. He inspires us and leads us into the full truth. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul is praying for the Ephesians. And he's not praying for miracles or healings in their midst. We read in his prayer in Ephesians 1:18. "I pray that the perception of your mind may be enlightened." You understand this? "That your perception of your mind may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints." This is done through the Spirit of understanding who has to stay in you. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." If we have this spiritual understanding, then we are led by the Spirit of God. Through his Spirit, The word is in us. We have to hold fast to this word. The Holy Spirit works only with the word of God, the Bible. Only by checking the written word of God, the Bible, with what we perceive we can understand whether something is of God or if it is of me, of man. In this way, we are protected from our own wishes or even deception by the false spirit. In this way, we are safe. In knowing the word of God, the Holy Spirit is leading us individually. And that is why it is so immensely important that you know the Bible. If you don't know the Bible, you don't know how the Spirit is leading you. When you feel something, you feel some people, they say the Holy Spirit told me, but it was an evil spirit who told them, not the Holy Spirit. But you can only prove it if you know the Word of God. Only in this light can we distinguish right and wrong. If without knowing the scripture, we expect the Holy Spirit to guide us, then all sorts of unbiblical decisions will follow. The Bible doesn't tell us everything. It doesn't tell us what color of shirt I should wear, or whether I should buy a car or not. The Bible doesn't tell us which marriage partner we should marry. God reveals to us the biblical principles within which we should make the right decision. If we keep all our money to ourselves, if we are not giving anything to our brothers and sisters, if we are not giving anything into the kingdom of God, buying a great car is wrong. If we genuinely support our own, if the needy brothers and sisters, we support them, if we support and give into the kingdom of God, and then we have something left, then you can buy with it whatever you want. That is, some people who buy expensive cars because they are giving so much into the kingdom of God and they still have left. So never criticize anybody who has a big car. It's the same about choosing a partner. The Bible says clearly, only in the Lord. You can marry anybody, but only in the Lord. That means your partner, he or she, must be a believer. Within this framework, you can marry whoever you want, but he or she has to be a Christian. If you marry a partner who is not a believer, you are sinning against God. If we heed biblical principles, there are only very few things where we have to decide and where we need the guidance, the interpretation of the Holy Spirit. How can you experience this fullness? How can we experience the power of the Spirit in our lives? How do I get strength? How do I get encouragement, comfort, and joy, and peace, and hope, and insight, and wisdom, and understanding, and revitalization? It's through the Holy Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit is the same as being filled with the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law, how I love your way, your law. I meditate on it day, all day long. How I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." That is how our life should be. To have a longing for the Word of God. By doing so, we submit our hearts, our thoughts, our feelings, our desires and wills and deeds to the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit causes us to align with a shaped, to be shaped by and submit to the Lord and be shaped by the Holy Spirit. What we have understood in the Bible, we are shaped into that picture by the Holy Spirit, by what He does in us. The Bible calls this process sanctification. Such are the effects and faith of faith and obedience. And when we experience what Paul testifies in 1 Thessalonians, where it says, God's word, which is also effective in you. God's word has to be effective in you. If you read the Bible and it has no effect in your life, it's pointless. It has to have an effect. And if you are led by the Spirit of God, it will have an effect. As I said, in the Old Testament, few people were filled with the Holy Spirit. But on the day of Pentecost, something new happened. The disciples still were not clear what was Jesus' ministry. They still thought He is coming to build a physical kingdom of Israel. So they asked Him, "Lord, when are you going to do that?" But His answer in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." This was something different from what they expected. They expected Jesus would say, "Oh yes, I'm coming. Let's start to do it." When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you receive power to witness. Now all believers can experience this infilling with the Holy Spirit. Every Christian. While some churches deny the filling of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, you must be filled. You must be filled. It is a command in the Bible that you will be filled. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. And this is a command. It's not an option, it's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. As Jesus and Paul admonished us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how can we be reluctant and not be? Many Christians think that the Bible is not for them and they can do whatever they want. And that is what Satan is telling them. The devil is still using the old trick. Did God really say, "You will surely not die"? Well, God says, it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. And if you do wrong, He will forgive you anyway. This is a lie that brought the world into trouble. That is why we have wars and terrorism everywhere. Because people think they can do whatever they want. And that is why the church is going down, because people think they can do whatever they want. And the world is going into chaos and the church is going into chaos because of the self-will of people. All of world's troubles are because people think God is a myth and you can do whatever you want. If you feel good, it is right. When God says, I created man and woman, people say, oh, there are more than two sexes. God says, when a man and a woman, or a woman with a woman are together, it is an abomination. And people say, LGBTQIA plus is all right. They propagate even small children should know about whether they are queer or homosexual or whatever. In the kindergarten, children who don't even think about sex, and they are indoctrinating the children. They tell the children, you are queer. And these children grow up and they're totally confused in their mind. They don't know what they are and they have big problems in their lives. Sin is in the increase. What can we do as Christians? We must be filled with the Spirit. We must be filled, we must be led by the Spirit. Seek the infilling of the Spirit of truth and understanding. Since Pentecost, it is possible. It's available to every single Christian. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first. Nothing else is important but seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. As we are close to the rapture, we must be right with God. We must be right with God. As there are more and more queer ideologies, we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. Remember, the Holy Spirit, a Spirit of truth, a Spirit of freedom, the Spirit of peace. Whoever does not follow the guidance of the Spirit will be in big trouble. Like the Israelites were in trouble in the desert. Those who refused to follow the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire died without seeing the promised land. They never saw it. You may think making money is more important than church, or going for fun is more important than church. Let me tell you, you're wrong. You didn't understand the thing at all. You may have been in a church, maybe you stopped going, you miss out. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't stop meeting in the assembly. Don't stop meeting in the assembly, as some are in the habit of doing. You may say, you can pray at home. I hope you do. Every Christian has to pray at home and read and study the Word of God. But that does not exclude the church. Hebrews 10:26 and 27, it says, if we deliberately keep on sinning, that comes straight after where he said, don't stop meeting together. He says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. So what the Bible says in Hebrews is that if you are not in the assembly, you are sinning against God. And that is why Paul wrote in Hebrews about those who stop meeting together. Church is the house of God. Church is not just a building. Church is the house of God, first of all. A church is an assembly of believers. If nobody's there, you don't have church. So church is the house of God. If you love Jesus, you are attending the services whenever you are able, whenever possible. Psalm 84, verse 4, it says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." Blessed are those who dwell in your house. It doesn't say blessed are those who are somewhere, but blessed are those who are in the house. Think about this. Think about this. Blessed are those who are in the Lord, and they shall be led by the Spirit of God. Brothers and sisters, if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are in Christ. But if you are not led by the Spirit of God, you better turn and give your life to Christ so that He can lead you. Amen.